time for our weekly how-to. If you follow along in our home maintenance calendar, you can see it there in the calendar, what we're going to cover each week. We tackle one specific item around the home because our homes need maintenance. And if we let them go and the lists get too long, they become very overwhelming and very cost prohibitive trying to get them all done at once. But if we can just pick away one little task a week, we can stay on top of that home maintenance. And that's what the calendar is designed to do. That's what our app is designed to do. You can download it at rosieonthehouse.com/app. Manage all these how-tos electronically. Get calendar reminders, push notifications, and store all the details about the project there. If the project requires investments or specialty parts, you can store all those parts in that app as it relates to that task. So anytime it comes up again, you don't have to go, well, what was that that I needed last time? No, you've got a picture right there. And this week we're talking electrical test. It's electricity. I think we could all agree, probably an important part of our homes. From Fox Valley Electric, Vice President Noel Pena, and Head Estimator Ben Perkins. Thank you all both for your service.
Thank you.
Servicing homeowners and commercial businesses by ensuring the electricity supply is there and working efficiently when we flip the switch or turn on the oven or the thermostat drops below our set temperature and the AC needs a surge to kick on.
That's correct. And also, we want everybody to be safe out there as well.
So. For something as where you've only got a ground, a positive and a neutral, you would think three wires wouldn't be that complicated, but it can get complicated. You know, if I mess up on a paint selection, I can go pick a new color of paint until I'm happy. You mess up in electricity once, you don't want to make that mistake a second time.
No, definitely. It's one of those tricky things, and I think a lot of people don't know enough about it, so they're scared to deal with it, which is why we have a profession in it. We know how to work it and how to make sure we're doing it safely.
And there's very little here that we're going to suggest homeowners tackle themselves. But let's walk them through making a personal inspection of their electrical systems and testing it to see if, you know what, something's not right here. We need to get this checked by a professional.
Yes, one of the things homeowners can do is check their GFIs. A couple buttons on the GFIs, one's a test and one's a reset, so it's very easy to go to each of the GFIs and test them properly.
And the GFCI stands for?
Ground fault circuit interrupter.
And what is that outlet designed to do?
That outlet is designed to test any leakage between neutral and ground. So let's say you're near water and an appliance falls into the water, it's gonna detect that leakage and it's gonna trip automatically.
Safety feature. And you
correct.
Would find that typically where in the home? Because not every outlet has a GFCI.
They should be in the kitchens, bathrooms, garages, and anywhere outside.
What does pushing that button on and off do? Am I looking for anything specific, or do I have to take a hairdryer, plug it in, turn it on, and hit the button and see if it kicks off?
Once you push that button, the reset button will pop out, and if you plug something in there, you're not going to get any current. Resetting it is by pushing the reset button in.
And then once you hit the test function, you can, if you have something plugged in, you'll push the test button. If you go to try to turn that on, it will no longer work. You also see that the reset button has popped out so that you can tell that it's functioning the way that it should. Push the reset button and the power will come back into that receptacle. Also, another thing that you'll find in kitchens, you might only have one in your kitchen. So if you have an outlet that's not working, that GFI could have tripped because a lot of them are wired in stream. So always check your GFIs if you're losing power at one receptacle in the kitchen.
Even after resetting the GFCIs, if it's still not working, sometimes that means you've got to go to your panel.
Or you could have a bad GFI.
The
functioning features in that GFI could have just gone bad.
In that case, we just need to get a new one installed. But if we've reset it, and we can still go check our circuit breaker board and make sure one of the breakers in there isn't tripped.
That's correct.
Which can be deceiving because a lot of times when it trips, it doesn't go, you know, it may still look like it's in the on position. You've got to physically feel it with your hand and see if it's loose, push it all the way off, then flip it all the way back into the on.
The breakers of the panels, in theory, should trip over and you should see the orange indicator light at the breaker. If you do see that, then that's the clear indication that breaker has tripped and shut it all the way off and turn it back on. If you can't tell, it's always a good idea to have an updated panel schedule so you know what breakers serve which outlets. You can go through, and if it's in your kitchen, then you know which breakers run your kitchen equipment, and go through those one by one as opposed to flipping through all breakers in your panel.
And what did you call it? You should have a...
updated panel schedule.
Panel schedule.
So every panel has numbers, even numbers on the right-hand side, odd numbers on the left. And you can put it on a piece of paper. You can write it in Sharpie next to each one. Just label what each breaker runs inside your house. So that way, if there is an issue, you can run right to it and turn it off in case of an emergency.
It's basically a directory and assigns a breaker to a certain part of your house.
And you call that a schedule?
Yes.
Now, what does dimming and flickering lights mean? Sometimes is that a bad light bulb sign going bad, or is that a bad power supply?
It's not going to be the light bulb. Chances are when your lights are flickering, it's when something in your house is taking more power than what can be delivered to the light fixtures. In the case, like when your air conditioner kicks on, if you'll notice your light's dimming at that point in time, maybe your AC is old and it's taking more power to turn on than what a newer, more high-functioning unit would take. 90% of the time, it's not the fixture itself. There's some other source for the power draw.
The interesting thing about electricity is it's odorless. I'm pretty sure it's tasteless. Have you ever stuck your tongue on a 9-volt?
I wouldn't try that, no.
You would definitely know.
It's not visible. It's quiet. But if any of those ever happen, there's something wrong. Sparks, buzz, odor. That it's telling you something's not right.
Heat is also a good indication that there's something wrong with the receptacle in your house or a switch.
Yeah, if you unplug something and it's hot, leave it unplugged. You can try and plug it in at a different outlet. And if that outlet stays hot, then you have an issue. And definitely call a licensed electrical contractor to come out and take a look at that. In the case of sparks, again, it goes back to having an updated panel schedule so you can run out, turn off the breaker, and
call us.
Yeah,
right,
and call us, and you know, we can have techs come out and take a look and fix any issues that you have going on.
And the older homes present a challenge. When we were building homes in the 50s and 60s, we had a TV. I don't even think VCRs were around yet.
Right.
I don't want to insult anybody that had a VCR in the 50s, but I'm pretty sure they weren't around yet. I mean we have so many electrical devices that we plug into, and outlets only designed to use so much, and you see the introduction of power strips and overloading our circuits. It's hard to do that with consumer electronics, but you can.
Oh, absolutely. We recommend if you're going to have a power strip, make sure it's a surge protector, make sure it's UL listed. That'll actually protect the device. And so if there is some sort of power surge, it will shut off and send the power back towards the panel, as opposed to having sparks or having a surge and having a larger issue with something sparking or catching fire. And
they're also not meant for you to plug in heavy appliances on them. So limit yourself to maybe one.
Yeah, not something you want to plug in like a room air conditioner on.
No, not at all.
Now, Ben, as the estimator, are you seeing in home construction, 200 amp was standard for a long time. Has that changed, or is that still pretty much the standard?
That's pretty much the standard, 200 to 225 amps. You're seeing a lot of people wanting to get new panels installed in lieu of the old ones. A lot of the ones we're seeing are old 125 amp panels. And with the holidays coming up, people want more spaces to have lights and stuff plugged in and have outlets on the outside. So I think 200 amp is about the industry standard at this point in time.
And that's really what controls everything in our home is the amount of power we can draw. And it's designed to, the homes were designed to always have that supply for you. But again, what we were designing in the 50s, it was nowhere near what
it's
we're designing for in 2020.
No, and the nice thing now, we're definitely pulling a lot more power. We're using a lot more electronics than what we were back in the 50s. But also, all of the new equipment has gotten more power efficient.
Yes.
So our air conditioners aren't as power hungry as they once were. You know, TVs don't use as much with LED lighting. You're not drawing as much power as you used to be.
Your refrigerators, your microwaves.
Yeah.
So even with all the new electronics, with the advancements in the efficiency of electrical use, we haven't seen a big pendulum swing on our power consumption.
No.
They're
being more efficient, so a 200-amp panel is plenty for, you know, a typical house, 3,000 square foot or so.
I'm sure we're probably using more power than what we used to just because we have so many more things. I mean, you're talking bedrooms with TV in each room. You know, you've got every room's got ceiling fans and, you know, kids have all their electronics plugged in. So we're probably consuming more power with everything, but all of the big power consumption devices have gotten better and don't need as much.
The efficiency that's been engineered into all of our electric consuming devices has gone up, that our energy consumption hasn't matched our device use. So I guess like if you had two lines on a graph, you know, your energy use may have only gone up 10%, but the number of electrical devices you use may have gone up 40-50%.
Yeah, correct. Absolutely.
Now, if somebody hears sparking smells, that smell is very distinct.
Oh, yes.
Or feels the heat. A number to reach y'all at?
Our number is 623-587-7370.
And y'all have a team of electricians that service?
All the valley. We will go down as far as Casa Grande and anywhere here in the Phoenix metro area.
Where you go up to like Dewey?
We've been up to Sholo, Pine Top, Flagstaff, Prescott. So
we're going to Cottonwood today or tomorrow, I believe, too. So there's nothing too far in Arizona. We'll take care of it.
Fox Valley Electric, you can find them at the electrical category at rosieonthehouse.com. And when you're done, you can get the complete list of inspection items on our weekly to-do. And you can check that off in your home maintenance app when you're done with it. From Fox Valley Electric, Vice President Noel Pena and Head Estimator Ben Perkins, thank you all both for your service.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.